Let's begin this properly. So hi, you all.
Hello.
The Chief Program Officer here at the network, and I'm happy that we have gotten this opportunity to bring residential services providers together. Notoriously, this has been a smaller group, and I don't really know why. I don't know where else we should be advertising it, but I'm going to make that a top priority because I think you have so much to offer, and you know there's so many issues I'm sure that have come up or are continuing to come up that it's really good to be able to talk together. But your chair is here, Jen Phillips from Keshet, and she'll lead the discussion, and maybe at the end we can talk about new branding opportunities, whatever, it's up to you. But if you can just put your community in your box, that would be great, just so we know where you're calling in from, Laurie.
So hi, everyone.
Sorry, I don't know what you mean by that, like in chat?
You know, do you know how to right click on your box and then you rename yourself? So you right click and go to rename. And then you put your community, put a dash and then whatever community you are.
A new skill.
There you are.
New skill. So, you know.
I did that, Laurie, by mistake. There you are, Ottawa. Terrific. What is this your first time with us?
Yes.
Well, that's even better. You can tell us a little bit about yourself. But
yeah, I think Risa Plotnick may have joined you possibly in other meetings. She wasn't able to come, I don't believe. So she asked me to come on behalf of Tamir. So I'm the residential manager at Tamir. I oversee our residential operations. And we, of course, are, you know, sort of three-quarters through, I'd say, planning for strategic initiatives and really looking at, you know, options residentially and sort of thinking outside the box. We're located in Ontario and funded by the province. So they, our ministry funder has also, you know, particular directives that they're coming out with these days. And
we have that too, just in a different way.
Do more with less.
Yes. Can you tell me a little bit about you know, the population of adults that you serve, because that will be interesting to kind of know.
Yeah, so we right now we're only set up to support adults with developmental disabilities, many of whom have many other associated conditions, if you will. Some have a dual diagnosis. Some people with support have physical disabilities, quite a range in support models, as well as the people we serve, from quite profoundly you know, disabled to those who live semi-independently with some support from us. And we do have a small kids program that we've been running for over 10 years, mostly summer day camp, that sort of thing, because we're not set up right now to support children residentially at this time.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I think we had someone join us.
Hi, sorry.
Nice to see you.
Yep, I'm Bernadette from JFCS in Cherry Hill.
Nice. So I know I had talked to Lisa about what we were going to focus on during this session, and I thought it would be some really good discussion about staffing. I see you shaking your head. You know, we have, you know, been struggling here with getting staffing for our adult day program and also our residential homes. I think mainly around our direct service providers, people really working hands on, right? Not getting paid a lot of money, but certainly the heart and soul of our organization. And so it's been tough. And, you know, the worry I have is our staff is getting burnt out because, of course, the staff that are with us are the staff that really care. They want to be here and they're covering shifts just to make sure that, you know, people are cared for. But also my administration staff, my house managers, my director of residential, you know, they're covering shifts too. You know, people call out and there's not people to, you know, get there or cover everything. You know, you're having your directors who are covering shifts and hands on. And so that's really, really tough. So, you know, it might be good just to get an idea of kind of where you guys are at with the staffing and your needs and kind of talk about, you know, what we have done to start to look for staff and what we're doing also to support our staff during this time. You know, we're past pandemic and everyone's like, oh, we're all good. But yet I think we're more in a staffing crisis than we were during the pandemic. And, you know, not being able to bring back some of our adults into our day program because we don't have enough staff right now is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So I don't know who wants to start, but I'd love to hear where you guys are at.
Well, I can certainly go. So we're a new residential program. Mm-hmm. We were licensed in March 13th of 2020, and we shut down on March 16th. Of
I remember you telling us the story. Yes.
Right. So we finally opened in August, and we've struggled and limped along. And I don't mean to sound doom and gloom. Please don't take it that way at all. It's a fabulous program, and everybody's doing well. But, you know, yes, I am the director, and I do shifts to cover, you know, just because we are, it's such a staffing crunch. Our staff have been with us. So I have 21 staff right now. Out of those 21, I'd say 15 of them started with us back in January of 2020 and then started working for us, obviously, in August. But they are also burning out, you know, with life happenstance. So I had somebody lose a spouse and they took 4 or 5 weeks off. I had, you know, it's your constant. You feel like you have 5 steps ahead and suddenly I just literally had 7 staff come back for a variety of reasons. 2 had COVID, you know, just whatever it is. And it's like, oh my goodness. So it is a challenge for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? You know, in New Jersey, and it looks like Jen, you're from Chicago. Sorry, I took my glasses off right before I was going to say your name. Laurie, I guess you're from Ottawa, Canada. In New Jersey, the government gave us a $3 an hour raise for all of our direct support professionals.
Wow.
And that lasted from, I want to say September, maybe October of 20 up until March of 21. So it was really nice. It gave people a bump. People felt like, okay, I'm appreciated, blah, blah, blah. Since that has stopped, I've had more staffing problems. You know, just, and it's funny because they're like, oh, we got used to that money. And I get it, especially if you're doing 60 hours a week and you're making $3 more an hour that you weren't planning on. But now we're kind of at that point where, you know, we can't afford to bring in that $3 again. Along with that $3 hazard pay, the state also gave everybody $1.25 more starting in January just to bring their raises up or their salaries up. Mm-hmm. The state of New Jersey is working towards a $15 hour minimum wage. Next January, we'll get another $1.25 raise. So we're struggling with that too. You know, I've had staff come to me that were hired in January of 2020 who are now making the same that I'm hiring at today. So it's like, all right, let me go back to administration and be like, hey, we have to look at this, you know, and all things that, because we are a new program and JFCS here, this is their first attempt or dealings with a residential program. They just didn't plan on all these things. So there's a lot of pressure from every which way to make this work. And it's just hard and it's frustrating. And I'm looking for ideas. You know, I want to take the staff out to dinner, but how do I do that when they're working? And how do I, you know, how do you manage to do that? Yeah. You know, and as with everybody, we're also getting over the pandemic. They're just now starting to open up some of the other building areas that we can utilize. But so staffing is a problem. I probably get 10 applications a week, and probably out of those 10, you know, my standards are pretty low, I think, as all of ours are at this point. I reach out to all 10 to interview, and I might get 2 to respond. And out of those 2, I get 1 to show up. And then I probably don't hear from them again.
That's very similar. We're not even getting 10 applications a week. It's crazy.
I don't know how we're getting them, but to be honest, I just went through my file before this, and I had 12 applications in there, all who I've reached out to twice. Hey, I'd like to interview you.
Nothing.
I mean, just think, you know, if you're not going to call me back, why am I going to hire you? But I am that desperate that I will hire you. And I hate feeling like that, because I know it's not good for the program.
For sure.
So I'm sure you are, I'm hopeful that you aren't in those same boats and that you have good ideas for me. And if you are in that boat, I understand.
Yeah. And we can go through that. So I don't know if, you know, David or Lori want to go next and just tell me where you guys are at.
Yeah, I don't mind to go. So staffing has been a problem in our sector, actually provincially, for many years, mainly because there isn't as much many students enrolling in sort of, you know, the specialized program that is here in Ontario, developmental service worker. We do accept resumes of, you know, personal support workers with experience, or we have the odd BA psych, people who have studied social work and so on. But it is an ongoing problem, as I said, in our sector. We're unionized, and there is kind of a wage disparity amongst our sector. We're about in the middle. We're not the lowest, thankfully, but we're not the highest either. And it's about a $5 or $6 an hour difference. So that has an impact. We did get the $3. We're still getting it. There's talk that it might be, you know, seen as ongoing, as sort of wage enhancement, trying to ensure people are interested in the field. One of the things we did years ago, because our biggest challenge for the most part is like relief and replacement staff. Right. So someone is away overnight and it's like, oh my God, who are we going to get to do this? We have a relief roster, but of course they're not coming in because they're too busy doing other things. So we created a rover position, and we guarantee what we classify as full-time hours. It's 32 hours a week. And we guarantee that. So say, for instance, not often, but they don't work that 32 hours, we're still paying them that 32 hours. Oh. And of course, they can work up to our maximum before overtime of 44. We have 6, I believe, right now, and it's really saved us in many situations. They're on an off-on rotation. And when they're off, of course, we don't call them unless they want extra hours. And when they're on, they are obliged to come in and fill the shift, no matter where it is, what it is. That's really helped. We've also, on occasion, we have one right now, we create what we call flex positions. Again, with the notion of guarantee full-time perm, 32 hours a week. And they, like, we might hire them as a evening flex. So their schedule would be Monday to Friday. And, you know, we might call them in to work anywhere at Tamir. Because relief, it's one of our toughest, you know, no matter how many you have, they're all busy, or right, they made plans, or they don't even call back. And then you're left scrambling. Our turnover has been actually surprisingly quite good over the last few years, but staff, we struggle with lateral moves. So they're staying at Tamir, but they're leaving from one program to the next because their friend works there or they like the hours better or whatever the case may be, which of course impacts on consistency for the people we support and their families and so on.
Yeah.
But it is, yeah, a problem. Our HR manager sits on a sector committee that meets regularly to, you know, brainstorm and look at what can be done further. But yeah, it is a problem.
Okay. And David, how are you with staffing in your homes or your buildings or whatever you want to call them? You run pretty big.
It's definitely a challenge. We're losing talent and brain power and institutional knowledge because people are aging out and retiring. Mm. I'm a Gen Xer, so I still have a ways to go. But, you know, one of my biggest goals right now is to be as strategic as possible and leave the agency in better condition than when I arrived. And when I arrived, man, it's an outstanding agency. We've been losing really good people. Mm. Tomorrow we're having a retirement party outdoors at a park in Skokie for two employees who have celebrated 30 years apiece with the agency, and they're both retiring. One is a life enrichment director and the manager, and the other one's our agency's maintenance supervisor. So fortunately so far, I've been able to find some good talent. We had someone ghost us. He put in his notice. He's a young guy, not even 30, and I had to give him the speech, when you set off for revenge, dig two graves first, because he's going to, he's here on a green card going back to Jamaica because his contractor is taking the materials and cash he sent to work on his house. And I said, look, you're not going to be welcome there. And you'd be, you know, better just letting it go and moving on. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we lost him. And I had really good hopes for him as an employee. Mm-hmm. We did go through 9 vaccination clinics. About 70% of our residents are vaccinated, about the same amount of our employees. So we're still wearing masks inside of the buildings. Employees are residents who've been vaccinated, don't have to in common areas. Guests who come in are supposed to wear masks. This could change. I mean, Chicago is really opening up. We're in the middle of our...
I was at the White Sox game last night.
Yeah.
You have no
idea. Full capacity, right? Full capacity.
First of all, I'm not even a Sox fan. I'm a Cubs fan, but I took my kids because someone had season tickets. Literally full capacity, no one wearing masks.
Wow.
And it was like, it was fine. Like, but you look around and you're like, And then today, my adults, we had a special Olympic games outside, and we had to wear masks because the Illinois Department of Human Services still is requiring day programs to wear masks even outside.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. And it's hot.
Wow. You guys are well ahead of us.
How come one's really talked about the staffing in terms of the amount of money that people are getting paid? I mean, that was the biggest issue that the home care administrators talked about. They can't pay what, you know, the minimum wages now if they want to make any money. That's their biggest issue. And all these people are now going into private work because they need more money.
Yeah. And David, I don't know what you pay your staff, but, you know, we, for our direct service providers, our rate is, you know, hourly rate is about $14.50 for, starting. So that's less than working at Target or at Amazon.
Wow, crazy.
Yeah, but the reimbursement from the state that we get is only like $13 or $13.50.
Oh, jeepers. Wow. So, funny.
You know, we don't have a choice. In our state now, you know, we have been out of compliance, the Department of Human Services. And so there was a Guidehouse study that was done that said that we need about $444 million in order to increase the wages and get everyone to a good place. And Pritzker is only budgeting $150 or $60 million. So we're never going to be able to get to that point. I've been doing a lot of lobbying around it. And our federation spent a great deal of time working on this in the last month, but it's pretty bad. They increased some of the wages that they were giving us during the pandemic, but that's going to also stop soon. So that's the hard part. So, you know, as we sit here, and I think we all have the same type of story, right? David, I think yours is very interesting, talking about that you're losing some of these people who have been here in your infrastructure for a long time. And how do we groom, right? How do we groom new people to come in that are going to take over? And, you know, that does start, you know, with people who are entry level. How do we make sure that they know that we want them to move up? I think, you know, we just did a Leading Edge survey. And one of the things that, you know, we had like 90% believe in our mission, feel welcome here, feel that they're supportive. And I think we had 60% feel as though they can get anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. How do we, you know, give them positions that they feel that can move up. And so one of the things that we have done is we have lead DSPs now in the last 6 months. So people who have been here who can take on a little bit more, we're able to pay them $1 more or $2 more to take on some stuff. So I think that has helped us keep staff a little bit. And also, you know, being able to give some more staff development that they feel that they can continue to learn. That's how we, you know, when we're interviewing people, we're like, it's not just come to work and leave, right? We're here as a community, a family, and we want to encourage what you're doing to be able to, you know, stay here, feel like you can move up. And we have gotten some more staff by giving people bonuses if they find people, right? So, and that has helped a little bit, that they're bringing in some friends that they, you know, may have not, you know, pushed it before, been like, whatever, but that they're getting some people in and telling them this is to benefit you, right? We want you to feel supportive and get more people to be part of our community. So those are like some of the little things we've been doing. I think bigger picture, we've been giving a lot of gift cards to staff, buying them dinners, you know, when our residents are going out to dinner, making sure that we pay for their dinners too. You know, making sure that, you know, once in a while, one of a management staff will come in and be like, you can go home early on your shift, you know, and still pay them for it. So little things like that, we're small enough that we can do things like that. I realize that's not, you know, necessarily, possible for all, residential facilities and homes, but I think that has been huge and the staff have been really appreciating that, you know, and I think our families have pitched in too. We've been very transparent with them that, you know, we're struggling. What can you guys do to help during this time? We don't anticipate this being long-term, but we do know that this is a problem right now, right? And we want to make sure that, you know, if you can pick your child up on the weekend and instead of taking them for 4 or 5 hours, you know, can we eliminate a shift if you to already having them home for, you know, dinner or the day or lunch of that sort. So we've been working on that. You know, also, we're in a situation here in the States, Lori, where unemployment is still being paid to people who want to.
That's the biggest problem. Okay. Yeah, that's going on still. Yeah, I know.
And they've got, they're getting, I've had people say to me, I've had like people say to me, they're like, I'm staying on unemployment until I have to.
Yeah.
I don't have to. And so, you know, if you are doing nothing and getting paid probably as much as you would, I don't know what to do with that. Yeah. Right.
Well, and it's summer too. So why work?
Kids are home. You know? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Question. Do many of your staff work 2 and 3 jobs?
Yes.
Some do. Yeah.
Okay.
Even our full-time staff.
Right. A large majority of our staff all work 2 and 3 jobs.
Yeah.
David, does your staff work 2 or 3 jobs or all your staff full-time?
Well,
I have full-time staff who work 2 and 3 jobs.
David, how about you?
My staff is specific to housing. They might have additional jobs such as violin teacher or tutor.
Uh-huh.
The maintenance guys might pick up some side work. But it's not like when I was in charge of facilities or restaurants where, you know, lower paid people were making $10, $11, $12 an hour and working 2 to 3 jobs.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, you know, the other piece is that people are tired and worn out and they're not, if we could pay them more so that they don't have to work other jobs and they can even do overtime by us and be part of, you know, our system as a whole, you get more vested staff and they feel as though they're being supported more than having to go working an overnight shift, sleeping 2 hours and go working a day program. And so that's hard. You know, one of the things we are now re-engaging is volunteers. You know, we have the opportunity to have volunteers do jobs that our staff don't have to do. So that takes the load off of them too. For instance, one of our residential homes has 10 residents. It's like a mini little camp, as I call it. You know, there's activities going on here and people going out to things here. And the cooking is a huge piece of that, right? There's 10 residents and 3 or 4 staff to cook for a meal. And so we've gotten a couple volunteers from the community just to be cooking the dinners at night. So that's, you know, alleviated some stuff for sure. And then bringing back some of our volunteers to be, you know, helping job coach or just come in and help during lunches during our day program. You know, I think that has been really, really, really cool. So, you know, that's something I do suggest. If you can, you know, kind of figure out a way to reach out and do that.
Good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you like an hour here or there, like people are finding things to wanting to do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even coming in on a, you know, a Sunday and watching, I don't know, a baseball game with residents so that, you know, maybe the staff can be working on other things like scheduling or whatever else they need to do. That has been really, really nice and helpful. So
in our, because we're unionized, one of the key clauses, which are common in a collective agreement is, we can't replace our staff members or take the work of our bargaining unit members. So we would be, you know, we could have a volunteer enhance someone's life, but we couldn't have them in, unfortunately, to do. I think we'd even probably be criticized if families were coming in, if it meant, you know, it meant that we could not have a staff, but anyways, that's one of the cumbrances of our circumstances, the old union environment.
I'm really anticipating this to go on for a while. Here's some observations. Refrigerators that cost us $425 before the pandemic mm-hmm. are now costing $650 to $700. Yeah. They're now taking 2 months to get. Diet mm-hmm. Coke is now $7.50 for a 12-pack.
Wow.
So, you know, the inflation's starting, and mm-hmm. we're really doing all we can to be an employer of choice. Mm-hmm. I increased an offer to the maintenance supervisor from $52,000 to $60,000 a year just to get them, because I've got to have the right person. And long term, that's going to make a difference. But at some point, we're going to be saying no to some capital improvements and some other items just to balance this out until everything mm-hmm. hits an equilibrium.
Those are hard choices.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, we've got to, you know, we really want to put our choice with people.
With people.
Because mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's important. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you got to make that decision where to cut costs in other places. And I agree with you. We've done that too, in order to keep really good people and make it work, and cut in other places for now, as we're trying to, you know, look at what, again, I said, the heart and souls are staff. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. I couldn't do my job. We couldn't be the organization we are without our staff. And, you know, the culture is so, so important. And I think that's mm-hmm. one of the things to remember. You know, if we look at a year and some ago when the pandemic started, that was one of the things that I knew had to be top priority for me. Mm-hmm. And so just from my, you know, direct exec staff to my office to also my directors, so that they see the power of our values here in the organization and that they pass mm-hmm. that along to their staff is critical. And we've seen a huge change. So, you know, we've had very little turnover, but the fact of the matter is there's just not enough staff out there. And there's still other issues within, you know, again, moving people up. And what do you do with a staff member that is a direct service provider, may not even have a college degree? Like, where and how can we move them up? Because even in the state of Illinois, in order to be a Q, which is someone who does the paperwork for the state, they have to have a college degree. Like, it's not even up to us. And they had to graduate in, I don't know if David, if you know this, but if had to graduate in something social service too, mm-hmm. a teacher mm-hmm. or a social worker or something like that.
That is very restrictive. I've never heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Very. So, you know, I may have a lead DSP who's incredible and I mm-hmm. want to promote them, and yeah. I can't have them get their Q license, then, you know, that I'm in a tough situation. So that's so sad for me and frustrating to have to say that to staff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just trying to figure out how to navigate in that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm struck by what Bernadette said in the beginning, that, you know, you're so desperate that you're going to call people back that don't even respond to you. And, you mm-hmm. know, that's terrible, because
it's very scary.
Right. So how do you provide your services if you don't have the staff? You're doing it and other people, but you can't get staff to provide the services for your clients.
I'm the CEO and I had lunch with our residents on Saturday.
Yeah.
Right? We haven't had everybody move in. You know, we have two mm-hmm. one-on-ones who we're just like, mm-hmm. we can't have you move in yet. I don't have enough staff.
Yep.
So Bernadette, mm-hmm. are you the one? Okay, so let me try to remember. Is Bernadette the person who came on the very first affinity group we had, and you were just starting this program?
So. Yeah.
Okay, it's all coming full circle. You know, yeah, yeah, yeah. a wrench in those plans.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. COVID.
I remember.
Right. My friend COVID.
Mm.
Yeah. Just so you know, Bernadette,
my entire career, this is the hardest job I've ever had. And it's not because it's resident, it's just all of the external stimuli, as we all know. So I'm not mm-hmm. preaching to the choir, because you're all in it with me. So
we opened a house during the pandemic We had a house we were supposed to open in March and didn't end up opening it until June.
Okay.
And so, you know, the staffing, and then you're finding staff during the pandemic to, right. to right. staff this house. So right. it was so difficult. I think we're in a better situation in residential. We're missing a couple staff here and there. Mm-hmm. But my adult day program, I have 22 adults that I'd like to bring back now as of July 1st, as their mm-hmm. state is allowing residential providers to allow them to come to day programming. And we're like piecemealing, like you can come 3 days, you can come 2 days, and still we can find more staff. And
right.
it is heartbreaking for me to tell families this, you know, but if I don't have staff.
And you can't get paid. So your bottom line gets impacted.
Right. I can't bill the state for the hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And normally day jobs are like the bee's knees of who wants to work midnights or evenings when you can get a day shift or a day job.
Well, you know, I've had the exact opposite where nobody wants to work my day shift. They all want to work overnights because they're working somewhere else.
I see. Yeah. Or going to school.
So we know what's going on, right? And you're like, you know, and my manager keeps saying, aren't you going to come in and do spot checks? And it's like, nope.
Nope.
You don't want to know what's going on.
I just want to get through. We're just going to on this ride together until we can get through it all.
The other thing that I think is really been positive is just the self-care stuff. So we have a new committee that's called our We Care Committee. Our values are our We Care values in the organization, and just a committee to help with self-care stuff. So we've had like a meditation thing, you know, free. We've had a yoga thing. We've had like a comedy night come on Zoom. So just doing fun stuff for the staff if we can to help them with self-care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
Lori, I'd be interested in talking to you more offline, just about the your flex position and the program position.
Yeah, you know, it's really
hold up everybody, but yeah.
You know, because some what we find with part time, they're often never around when you have to rely on them to come in on shift, you know, last minute, and B, people are in it to make a decent wage and a full-time sort of salary. So we tried that years ago and it's really worked out well. We usually keep people about 2 years in that position and then they might apply to something a little more, you know, regular schedule. It's not an easy gig for them to pull off. You know, if they get a call at 10 o'clock at night, they got to come in.
Yeah.
You know, so we do have a very detailed job description and so on. So I'd be more than happy to talk to you and share that with you.
I'll send you my email in the chat. I would like to talk to you.
Yeah, that sounds good. It might be more informative, although I've been around to me a long, long time too, but maybe even just to put you in touch directly with our HR manager or HR admin, who could, you know, send you that stuff and answer any questions.
Well, we got to share with everyone because I have a couple of things too. Right. That'd be
so
great.
If you send it to me, you guys, I can put it into the resource library and all of you can get into it. And I'll put how you do it in the chat.
Okay, that'd be helpful because I don't remember.
It never changes. And you can see a lot of things, not just this. Not just the residential service providers, but
all sorts
of COVID waivers and things that, you know, agencies have done and moving forward.
But, yeah, you know, we've suffered with early on the ministry, our funder declared a single employer. So employees had to choose if they worked more than one place, they had to pick. So we lost very quickly about 20 or so staff. And that's still in place. So we're just now talking about, you know, how do we go about undoing all that if people want to return to the positions, but also look forward to having more staff available. But it'll be more upheaval, certainly for people in temp positions and so on. But that's been a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I'm hopeful that come October, things will get better. You know, I figure September, people will go back to school, kids will go back to school, families will feel like, okay, I can go back to work.
I agree.
I know. The next normal. That's what everyone's calling it. Nothing
new. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because I don't know that we'll ever get back to what we knew as normal, but
I don't think we will. I think it's all changed. Everything has changed.
Yep, I agree.
Mm-hmm. You know, you guys got so many emails from me today, and I'm so sorry because I just can't do all these affinity group. Someone else has taken it over after this last mess up. But I don't know if you're interested in coming tomorrow at 1 o'clock, because that's what you'd be interested in, with Aaron Kaufman from the Jewish Federations of North America, and how they're really advocating all these different bills that, you know, potentially might be important for your professions and for your agencies. So if you want to come. Yeah, he's great. You know,
he's a really good friend of mine. And
he is?
Yeah, he is awesome. I've been working on a lot of stuff with him. Yeah. A close friend. He's great.
So I sent you all a clarification, you know, clarifying links, so you know which ones to actually sign up for.
I have another one tomorrow.
Did you get it, Bernadette?
I did. I know I can't do it. I have another meeting.
Well, you can always listen to it in the resource library.
In the library. Okay, great. Yeah, because this has been, you know, we have another building opening up. I don't know where I'm getting staff for this building. That building.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, reminding, you know, your other employees that, you know, we're really looking for people and giving them some type of initiative to help, I think is critical. Mm-hmm. I really do. That's really where we find, you know, we get the occasional zip recruiter and this or that, mm-hmm. but I will tell you, most of our great staff just come from the other staff that we have.
Huh. Yeah. And we have a bonus program in place, but don't have anybody biting on it.
Yeah. And maybe just talking to them individually too sometimes helps them problem solve. Be like, do you have any friends? And they'll be like, wait, maybe I do. Maybe Tom will come and work.
Right.
You know, he hasn't been doing anything. Right. So try that, I think. But I do think that, you know, we just need to continue to take care of our staff and make sure they know that they are part of what makes things run and go and do, and anything we can do to support them. And you know handwritten, I know I did just handwritten notes to my day school staff of thanking them for the end of the year, and you know, with some little gift cards and stuff like that. I think that, I know, nice. You know, yes, it is more money we're spending, but in the end we know that we're getting good people. Yeah.
And you're investing in them, and you're letting them know how much you care about them and how important they are to you. So you know, that's all good.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It goes a long way. If you can get them, Bernadette, if you can get them, you can do
it. I will get them. I am positive that come September, I'm going to be flooded with applications.
You will. You will. I'm sure. So, yeah. So that, I mean, I hope that helped a little bit. And I hope just having some discussion of, you know, knowing that we are all in the same place together always does help for sure. You know, and I'm, you know, happy to send you, you know, just some of the staff trainings we're doing and supports and all of that. So I can pass that along to you guys.
Pass that along and put it in there. You guys copy and paste that and check it every once in a while, because potentially some of you will be sending things in and you can see what's new. Right. I wanted to just mention that our next date, in case you didn't know off the top of your head, Jen, is September 23rd.
Okay.
At 2:30. That's perfect. The time we do it, right? 2:30.
Yeah.
2:30 Eastern, right. So, and then the other one's on November 10th, but that's far out. But, you know, hopefully by the time we meet, we will have more staff and we'll be a little more positive about that.
I agree. I hope we can talk about bigger things at that time.
Okay, great. Send me everything, you guys. Don't forget, right? Have a good summer and stay in touch, because there are things that the network is doing that you may be interested in, even though it may not be the Kennedy Group. We offer other kinds of, you know, webinars and who knows what. Sure.
So great. And I'll send those job descriptions along as soon as I get them.
Yeah. And
thank you.
Okay. And feel free, Bernadette, to reach out to me. Okay. If you have any questions, or if anybody has any questions, if I can't answer them, I'll get my HR gal to.
That's wonderful. Thank you. So nice to see you.
All the best.
Yeah, everybody. Have a great summer.